If you want to know what kids think about, the kind of stuff they don't discuss with their parents, you might want to read Katherine Patterson's books. She is one of America's most acclaimed writers of children's literature. Her book, Bridge to Terabithia, won the Newbery Award. So did Jacob Have I Loved. The Master Puppeteer and The Great Gelly Hopkins each landed the National Book Award for Children's Literature. In 1998, Patterson received the world's top prize for a children's book author, the Hans Christian Andersen Medal. Patterson is a master at digging into the emotional lives of kids. Talking to Steve Paulson, she said many adults have underestimated children.
People would like to deny that children have deep feelings. They will say, well, he wouldn't understand. The child may not be able to articulate what he's feeling as well as some adult, but it doesn't mean that she's not feeling very deeply. So what you're trying to do is to go so deep inside yourself that it will connect very deeply with the reader. And I seem to be asking the questions that children ask. And so when I go deep inside myself, I'm addressing questions that children address and are often not permitted to ask.
Like what kinds of questions?
What if I die? Adults are so afraid of death that they won't take children to funerals often. They are not honest about their own emotions, their anger towards the loved one who's died. Those kinds of things that we all experience when a loved one dies, children also experience. And for them, it's much more powerful because the younger you are, the more powerful you think your words are and that your words might actually kill.
So when you're writing a story, let's say, about death, and you say you go deeper into yourself to tap into that emotional experience, are you trying to go deeper into yourself as you were as a child yourself or just the way you are right now?
That child is what's deep, isn't it? So the deeper I go, the more into the child I go. And so I think that's why I can connect emotionally with children.
Do you think most adults just simply don't understand the emotional experience of children?
Well, I think maybe a lot of us don't want to believe our children hurt as much as they do because it's too painful for us to contemplate that. So we sort of deny it in self-protection. Or maybe we forgot how it felt.
What ages of children are you talking about?
Almost any age.
A 3-year-old and a 15-year-old.
Yeah. In fact, I got a lot of grief when Bridge to Terabithia was published because children shouldn't have to think about death. And I have 4 children, and by the time they were 8, 2 of them had lost friends by death. I didn't want my children to have to go through that grief. I didn't have any choice. And so I think what we need to do as parents and as writers for children is to try to help them develop some inner strength for the hard things of life that they are going to have to face.
Well, you've written about a number of heavy subjects. Death is one. Mm-hmm. You've written about foster care, even evolution. And and not surprisingly, some of your books have been, I shouldn't say not surprisingly, but some of your books have been targeted for censorship. You've been accused in some circles of corrupting the morals of children. And I'm wondering if you see it as part of your job as a children's book writer to sort out what's right from what's wrong.
You know, the problem is when you start out with a value or a moral truth to impart, what you're doing is writing propaganda. If you have something that you wish to impart, and I've written propaganda, I hope it was good propaganda, because I've written to persuade. But that's not fiction. That's not a story. A story is the writer's self-discovery, what I'm learning. And you start with your own pain or your own puzzlement. And the process of writing the story is the process of trying to figure out for yourself something that you didn't know at the beginning.
Well, I find your comments about morality especially interesting, given your own background. You were born in China. Your parents were Christian missionaries there. You've been quoted as saying that the Bible had a profound influence
on you, and
the stories that have had the most impact were the stories
absolutely.
From the Bible.
Absolutely.
I think most people would see the Bible as the book about moral instruction.
No, the Bible is the book about God's love for humankind. And that's quite a different thing from moral instruction. Yes, the Ten Commandments are very much a part of the Bible, but the Ten Commandments are given to us for our own good, not to bang us over the head with a stone tablet. If you live by the Ten Commandments, you're going to be a happier person.
So the Bible is not out there to whip you into line.
No, no. It's so sad when people think it is.
Well, I want to pick up on the thread of your own personal history. After you were born in China, you moved around a lot, didn't
you? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Moving I can do. I mean, I hate it. But I know I was asked to write a story after I moved to Vermont for the children of farmhands who move are the moving population of people in Vermont. And I didn't know anything about dairy farms. They took me out and made me walk through the muck to write a book about dairy farms and to talk to the people who lived on dairy farms and to go visit their trailers and to go to their schools. But moving I knew about. That was the emotional truth, if you please.
How many times did you move when you were growing up?
I don't know. I'm now living at my 33rd or 34th address. I can't. And most of those moves were made before I was married. So.
But you moved pretty much every year.
Yeah, when I was a child. There was only one school I went to for more than 2 years. So
you must have always felt like the outsider.
I was always the outsider. I was always the dumb one who didn't know where anything was and who didn't know how it was done in this place. And I still find that child in me rising up when I'm in a stable community as I've been living in for the last 13 years, and there's this assumption that everybody knows something, and I don't know it. And I think, don't do that to people. Don't do that to people.
Did you get picked on a lot as a kid?
Oh, sure, initially. And then by the time I would begin to feel at home and have made my friends, then we would move again, and I'd have to start all over again.
Did that experience make you a writer?
Well, it certainly contributed to my being a writer, I'm sure. I once said that I was sure there were very fine writers who'd had happy childhoods, but that those of us who were weird little kids had a leg up.
You had more to draw on.
We had more to draw on. So they had to work harder than we do.
How have you turned those experiences into books, your own early experiences as the outsider?
Well, when I was in the first grade, we came from China. We had to flee China twice because of World War II. And the first time, we ended up in Richmond, Virginia, and I was put into the first grade, where I could already read well, but I was so weird that I never told the teacher I could read, so I was doing Dick and Jane, and I was totally invisible. And on Valentine's Day, now I had been there since the fall, on Valentine's Day, I came home, and I didn't have a single Valentine. Well, my poor mother, we feel too deeply for our children. She just never got over it till the day she died. And once she said to me, after I had become a writer of a number of books, she said, Catherine, why don't you sometime write the story about Ginner Park School when you didn't get any Valentines? And I said, oh, Mother, every book I've written is about the day I didn't get any Valentines.
We've mentioned one of your books that won the Newbery Medal, Bridge to Terabithia, which is the story of how one child deals with his best friend's death. How did you get the idea for that story?
Our son David's best friend, who was a girl, was struck and killed by lightning. And it was such a horrendous thing that I had to begin to write a book to try to make sense of it.
How old was David at the time?
8. He was 8 years old. And thought God was punishing him and that God would go ahead and kill everybody he loved before God got through. And it was right at the time that I had been operated on for cancer, so the children were already afraid they might lose their mother, and then David lost his best friend.
So how do you turn that into a book, that kind of devastating experience?
Not easily. I stopped writing when I knew the next chapter would bring the child's death. Only way I could keep her alive was not to write. And when I finally realized that it was my own death that had to be faced, I went ahead and wrote it.
We should say that in the story, Jess and Leslie are the two friends. Mm. They come together over this secret hideaway that they have that they call Terabithia, and then Leslie drowns during a rainstorm as she's going there, and then Jess is left to his own devices to deal with it.
Yeah. And the child doesn't die by lightning, because that would not be believable. I often explain to children that books have to be more believable than life.
This is pretty heavy stuff for kids to read about. I mean, let's say fifth graders. That was the age of the children you were writing about.
I think of books, especially a book like this, as a kind of rehearsal for life. You get to go through it while you're still enjoying it. And I'm very often confronted by people who say, well, this child I know lost a parent or a friend, and so I gave them Bridge to Terabithia, and that's really too late. The child should have a book like that before she needs it. And I've had a number of letters from young adults who said to me that they've lost a friend, and they remembered Bridge to Terabithia and went back and read it, and that it was such a comfort to them.
There's a passage that you have near the end of the book, Bridge to Terabithia, where Jess finally realizes, I mean, he's obviously dealing with his grief, but he realizes he's been given a gift by his very dear friend. And I'm wondering if you could read that for us.
I'd love to read it for you. He thought about it all day. How before Leslie came, he had been a nothing, a stupid, weird little kid who drew funny pictures and chased around a cow field trying to act big, trying to hide a whole mob of foolish little fears running riot inside his gut. It was Leslie who had taken him from the cow pasture into Terabithia and turned him into a king. He had thought that was it. Wasn't king the best you could be? Now it occurred to him that perhaps Terabithia was like a castle where you came to be knighted. After you stayed for a while and grew strong, you had to move on. For hadn't Leslie, even in Terabithia, tried to push back the walls of his mind and make him see beyond to the shining world, huge and terrible and beautiful and very fragile? Handle with care everything, even the predators. Now it was time for him to move out. She wasn't there, so he must go for both of them. It was up to him to pay back to the world in beauty and caring what Leslie had loaned him in vision and strength. As for the terrors ahead, for he did not fool himself that they were all behind him, well, you just have to stand up to your fear and not let it squeeze you white. Right, Leslie? Right.
Catherine Patterson's many books include Bridge to Terabithia and The Great Gilly Hopkins. In 1998, she won the Hans Christian Andersen Medal for her body of work. She talked with Steve Paulson.